Good morning, everyone. Welcome to episode 3 of another off-grid podcast with Tanda Ranch. My name is Thomas, and today we're going to be talking about the good blood, the bad blood, the new blood, and the old blood. Basically, that's referencing good people, bad people, new animals, and old animals. And just kind of how we ended up out here again a little bit. We've already brushed on a lot of the reasons on why we came out here, you know, between COVID and toxic environments and stuff like that. But one of the bigger reasons, to be a little more specific, was having a toxic person around in your household. Someone who is very much, I guess, I'm not sure if you would consider them a narcissist or a sociopath or maybe even a psychopath, who knows. But it's pretty wild to have someone around who, you know, loves to gaslight a situation, to try to take it upon themselves to, you know, make a situation worse than it actually needs to be. Someone who's always trying to divide, you know, other people around the house, to pit people against each other. And that's really kind of what happens is, in a situation like that, like, you lose ownership of a lot of the things that, you know, you lose ownership of your situation. And it's easy to get drawn into something like that. And that was one of our problems there. This obviously would be the bad blood of the conversation here. And it sucks because sometimes it's family. I've rarely ever had a friend actually do that. Usually, when I start to notice something like that with friends, I'll start to distance myself, and then I'll no longer be a friend with them, remove them from my life. Chaos is not fun. It can be if you're at the amusement park, but we're not there. But the thing is like, when you have a family relative, they try to preach that, well, family blood is more important than a friend or something like that. And you know what? I don't believe that one bit. Now I am very close with my family. But the wife, she is not, and she's not close with her family. I believe honestly, she's probably closer to my family than she is her own. And sometimes, it's not a good situation to be in, but I mean, you have to do what you got to do, sometimes. And we chose to come out here to kind of get away from that toxic presence that was in our household. And, you know, again, it's not always the easiest thing to do. Sometimes you have to cut off ties and take a step back to see what's going on there. With that being said, I mean, we moved out here, and even when we got out here, we kind of ran into a lot of people that were real quick to latch on. And you know, at first they seem like friends, but, a lot of them, I ain't gonna say a lot of them, only a couple of them, really become, you know, you can't ask them for help and without being indebted to them. And that's unfortunate because, like, you know, we're all out here to help. I stop everything I can. When possible, to help people. I might not like it at all times, but I'll do it because I understand we're all here to help each other. When you live in kind of an off-grid community, you'll have, you know, people who need help. You know, we're out here, you know, way out in the middle of nowhere, but yet it is a community, and I think it's a pretty good situation to be in if we were ever in a SHTF situation or shit hits the fan. We're in a good situation to be out here because there are a lot of good people out here who would be more than willing to help us as we would be more than happy to help them. But then there's the handful of people who are out for it for themselves. And that's unfortunate because if we were ever in a SHTF situation, they would probably not get a whole lot of help or from anyone else out here. And they would be kind of out on their own. Which is unfortunate because some of them start off really nice, really helpful, and then sometimes they just, you know, we needed some assistance one time with the vehicle, and they helped us, and I was very grateful for it. I went so far as to also buy them lunch, pay for their gas, and they were almost upset over this because they didn't have anything to hang over my head to use against me later on down the road, because I paid them for everything that they let us do. That's only like one real situation that we've came across out here. We've had great relationships. Sorry, I can't talk this morning. Maybe it's the coffee. I don't know. But we've had very good relationships with a lot of people out here as far as like helping us out with like animals, what to do in a situation, you know, when we have an animal that is birthing baby goats, most notably. We've got some friends out here who are actually in the process of building up their property as well, and they have a lot of tools and stuff. And I've offered tools to them. They've offered us a lot of tools. And they just happen to come out here with a little bit more, how would you say, more material items to help them out. And they've been super gracious, great people. When it comes to like animals that they want, they'll come to us because we just happen to have a fair amount of animals. And we have animals on the way as well, like turkeys being hatched, rabbits that are being born, baby goats and stuff like that. And so those are all things that we can use almost as a currency out here. And that's been pretty cool. It's wild because like, if you were in a SHTF situation, you know, what is the value of money, you know, at that point there, if you can learn to barter and learn to be more of an agorist and, you know, use what you have available to you to benefit you, and you know, it's a two-way street. It benefits you and them. So we have a couple dairy goats that we milk as well, and so we use those, the milk and stuff like that, for bartering. But so that's just kind of the good and the bad of people out here. So if you can, you know, if you are in a community, it works out for us. Now, if you're up in the mountains of Montana somewhere, living off grid, and you don't have anyone within, you know, 100 miles of you, I don't know what to say. That situation there, honestly, that would be a beautiful thing. Montana is a beautiful place, but that would be one of the things that's like, if you have it going on out there, then good for you. But you know, we live where we live. It is what it is. And then also, we have our animals. So this is our good, or our new blood and old blood, referencing our animals. So when it comes to our animals, we started off with, a mama goat, a female doe, goat, and she came with three babies. She came with a buck, who had been weathered. So in other words, his testicles had been cut off, or had been taken off. And then two females, and they were both, they were all real small, and we raised them, and we've actually grown our, I guess you would say, herd of goats. So the mama goat, she was a Nubian goat, and the babies were, I believe, a Nubian-Nigerian mix. Cute goats, very, very nice goats. Goats are very... very cool to have around. They're very personable. They love the attention, especially if they've been raised around people. We also, I believe, our second goat, her name was Blossom. She was a Nubian as well. And Nubian goats are really known for their milk, which is what we wanted. And so we had a Nubian where we added her, and then we also added a La Mancha goat, which is also known for their milk as well. And currently, Blossom actually 3 weeks ago or so had a baby. She was breeded, had a baby, and she actually had three. And so the unfortunate side of living out here is when things go wrong with animals, you're just trying to get out of it with what you can, as far as everything staying alive. And so we had two of the three babies from Blossom not make it. The very first one that came out, she was very, very small, not very, very well developed as far as where she was, but she was the first one out, and she was blocking the two behind her that were coming out. She came out, was unresponsive, and one of the ladies out here, back to the having a good person around, one of the ladies out here, she used to own a goat farm, a commercial goat farm, and she came over and she helped us out. And actually, I honestly think she kind of resuscitated her, because I saw her eyes flicker after doing some type of CPR with her. And when her eyes flickered, it was a breath of fresh air. It was really awesome. And she survived. And her name is Kinley. I believe I referenced her. And she is just a little bundle of joy now. After 3 weeks, she bounces around and does goat stuff. And it's really awesome to watch. I can walk outside and she knows me, and she comes over to me, and I can almost call her like a puppy. And she runs over to me and she dances around, does her little parkour on everything. And so it's really cool. The two goats that came out after her, one was a buck, one was a doe. They were both dead pretty much on arrival. One was head back, and the other one was just, it was already dead. The second one came out pretty easily, but again, he was dead. And then the third one that came out, it was head back and hooves out, and I had to actually help deliver that one. And it was quite traumatic, just because I've never done anything like this before. And so when that happened, I had to help get her or him out of the birth canal by pulling on the legs while the head was back. And it was really rough on Mama Goat, Blossom, but she survived, and she's actually looking better now than I think she did before she was pregnant. She looks fantastic. So she stayed alive, which is a win. And then also we have the baby goat that's still alive. It was unfortunate for the other two, but it's tough, and that's just kind of the nature of the beast out here when it comes to animals. We also have turkeys. We have two toms and three hens. We name all of a lot of our animals are named after celebrities. So we have Hank and John, or Johnny. Those are our two toms. And then the females, I kind of forgot their names, actually. But our rabbits, we have Jessica Rabbit, Roger Rabbit, and Waskawee Rabbit. So we got names there. Our ducks, we have Laverne and Shirley, Dolly and Molly, and Howard. He's our male duck. You know, so we give all of our goats and animals names out here that are celebrity names, try to be musical or comedy names, something like that. But when it comes to our older goats, the old blood there in our herd of goats, they're all, our female goats are all there for milking, once they give birth. And we have milk coming out of our ears. We've got so much milk, it's not funny. And what we do is we freeze it, in food saver bags. And out here, that's like currency. You can use that milk, and people will buy it from you. They'll trade you stuff for it. It's pretty neat, because we've gotten seeds for like growing stuff. Just we've gotten like random stuff that we need, like, and also we'll give it to people because you pay it forward. So if you give people milk, and they will totally appreciate that. But then also when you need something, they're real quick to be like, hey, if you need anything, let us know. We give away a lot of milk and eggs. And so that's kind of the staple of what we have to barter with out here. Our male goats, we have, let's see, we have S'mores, who is one of the baby goats that came with our mama goat there. One of our mama goats, the first set of goats that we got. And he's almost full grown. He will be, and I hate to put it this way for anyone out there who is listening that don't agree with it, going to freezer camp here pretty soon. And he was a weathered buck. And so at that point there, once you become weathered, you're no longer, you know, your pet or your food. And in his situation, he's going to ultimately be food, which is kind of what we came out here to do, to learn how to become self-sufficient. Then we have another one of our bucks. His name is Lemmy, named after the singer from Motorhead. So we have Lemmy, and he is going to be our stud buck. He's going to be our guy that, you know, makes all of the, helps make the other babies around. And then we have Willie. He's a little Nigerian who is red, so he's named Willie, like the red-headed stranger. So that's Willie. And so that's pretty much the name of all of our goats and stuff like that. When it comes to ducks, I've already told you what those were. Then we have some like regular ducks that we have names for, but I can't remember those. We just recently got those. And then we have our rabbits. And oddly enough, our rabbits, we bred those a little over a month ago, and to the day that they were both bred, they both had babies. So we've got, you know, 9 new baby rabbits out there, and so excited for them to grow up, see what we can get out of those, and continue breeding to kind of double up our meat situation there, meat rabbits and stuff like that. It's really neat. It is a it can be tough for some people to think that that's what people do, but I would rather eat what I know I've grown and raised and know where it came from, instead of going to a grocery store and getting beef or something like that from some random country that doesn't have the same inspection process that we do here in America. You know, I know that my rabbits are taken care of and they live a good life. I know that my goats are free range. You know, they get let out of the goat pen and they get to forage as they feel fit. Same thing with our chickens. Our chickens that we have, we've got, you know, right now 15 or 16 chickens, 7 of which are like baby chicks. Those are our egg layers. We will have eggs all year round at this point. We were told that a lot of the chickens will stop laying eggs in the wintertime. Ours never stopped. Like, they just kept going. But that's the whole point of what we're trying to do out here, is to get self-sufficient and get to a point where we have enough livestock where we can just keep feeding the animals and, you know, feed us and whatnot. And it's coming along pretty good. When the rabbits were born, now the rabbits, they can produce quite a bit amount of meat, believe it or not. One buck rabbit and 2 does can produce somewhere around 200 pounds or more of meat a year, and that's a pretty fair amount of meat. Now, how you go about doing it is totally up to you, but one goat in particular I know for sure will probably never get butchered. That would be Kenley, our baby goat. She has, I hate to say this, she's the cutest little thing ever. She's a bundle of joy. She literally is like having a puppy around, and she is just, it's amazing what she does. But anyway, I digress. But I hope everyone gets a little bit of information out of this. If you like it, give me a like on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. Give us a shout out. Look us up on Instagram. We're Tanda Ranch, I believe, Homestead. Off-grid or off-grid homestead, Tanned Ranch, something along those lines. We have our TikTok as well. We have a Facebook page that's Tanned Ranch. And then also we do have a YouTube channel, but we don't have like 1 video on there. But give us a shout. Thanks. I appreciate y'all listening. Leave us some comments if you want. If not, if you want me to talk about anything in particular, leave me some comments. Thanks.